All right, Yavosai, good evening. Let's begin. So we're going to pick up tonight. We're going to do a very, very beautiful piece. Very beautiful piece from Rabbi Nachman in Parshas Balak. So we're actually focusing on the Pasuk. Remember again, Parshas Balak opens up with Balak, who's the king of Moab, coming to Bilam, saying to Bilam, listen, we've got a problem. The Jews are entering in, or the Jews are on the cusp of entering into Eretz Yisrael, and we've seen that conventional means of warfare have been totally unsuccessful against them. Right? So again, remember, to go ahead, Sichon and Og already failed in battle against them, and pretty much there's no stopping them. So Balak feels there's one last possibility, which is to hire Bilam, who is a Gentile prophet, to go ahead and curse Klal Yisrael. So of course, we know how the story goes. So Balak hires Bilam. Bilam tries to curse Klal Yisrael, but every single time Bilam tries to curse Klal Yisrael, what happens? Just the opposite. Not only does he not curse Klal Yisrael, but he delivers a beautiful bracha. And the truth is, some of the brachas he delivers are so beautiful that we include them as part of our every single day, like Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, Mishkan Osecha Yisrael. It's incredible. So one of the interesting parts that's interesting is in the beginning of the parasha, there's a tension between Bilam and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Bilam clearly wants to go to curse Klal Yisrael. The truth is, it's not that Bilam, because it's not that Bilam is an anti-Semite. It's that Bilam is a businessman. So he realizes that if you go ahead and you curse the Jewish people, and Balak the king of Moab wants you to curse the Jewish people, then what? Then let me say you stand to make a lot of money. That's the cheshbon. That's the idea. So what happens? So if you look at, I think you have it on your sheets. You look at pasuk ches on top. So what happens? So Vayomer Aleihem, Bilam says to the messengers, so Balak sends messengers to Bilam. Bilam says to the messengers, Lima po alayla, stay here for tonight. Vashibosi eschem davar, kaasher yedaber Hashem elai. And I'll tell you tomorrow morning what God wants me to do. Whatever God tells me to do is what I'm going to do. Vayeshve sare moav im Bilam. Ultimately, again, so they spend the night. Fine. So Rabbi Nachman says something amazing. Lima po alayla, take a look. You see on the bottom where it says ches in the section that's called the Kute Halachas. So he writes, Zeh Klal Godol. So this Rabbi Nachman you're going to see here, is an incredible Yisod. Zeh Klal Godol, Shekol Ha'olam Lo Nivra Ki'im Bishvil HaBechira. The entire world was created for the purpose of Bechira. Now this itself is a profound statement. The entire world was created for the purpose of free will. The purpose of Bechira. V'alkein, HaBechira, Yeshlanu koach godol ma'od ma'od. Therefore, again, the concept of bechira, the notion of free choice, is an incredibly powerful koach, an incredibly powerful force in this world. So, I will say, just this, you know, there's an underlying question, underlying fundamental question for all of existence, which is what? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? Right? I analyze this here for just a moment. Right? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu go ahead and create the world? Right? Ribono Shel Olam has everything, right? He's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he has everything. So why does he need to create the world? So the Rebbe says, the Ribono Shel Olam created the world because the world is the place where we have the ability to use our Bechira. We have the ability to use our free choice. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So what does this mean? He says, look on page Reish Samech Gimel. It's on the left-hand side, the section that says the Kutei Halachas. I apologize, I should have lettered everything. Ukimavor mizeh, b'chov ha-svarim, u'bidevreinu kama pamim. So the Rebbe says, we've spoken about this many times, the power of Bechira. V'ikar koach ha-Bechira, hu ayidei, shashem yisbarach ha'elim v'histir etzona b'hastaras v'alamas gedolos. So the Rebbe says like this, so what does it mean, Bechira? So we often assume when we speak about Bechira, we speak about free choice, so we often assume, how does free choice manifest itself most acutely? How does it manifest itself?
In choices that are obligatory to what Hashem wants us to
do. Oh, so even before we get to that, even before simpler. So we normally assume that Bechira expresses itself in the ability to choose between right and wrong.
Yeah.
Right? I get up in the morning, I have a choice. What's my choice? I could put on tefillin. Right, all right, dope. I'm sorry.
Good.
Correct. I can put on tefillin, or I cannot put on tefillin. Right? I'm going to eat, I'm going to drink a cup of coffee, I can make a bracha, I cannot make a bracha. So meaning, normally we assume that bechira manifests itself in my ability to choose. I have the ability to choose what I want. And I will say, it's an incredible yisod. You should know that it's, you know, you see this a little bit, not to get into like societal commentary, but you often see that sometimes people create a reality for themselves where they feel they don't have choices. You see, the best way to exempt yourself from going ahead and accomplishing anything is to claim you don't have choices. It's not my fault, right? There are circumstances beyond my control. I have no choice. Because what's the great part about having no choice? Where there's no choice, there's what? There's no responsibility. No choice, no responsibility. So the Rebbe says, the Shmuel who gave us Bechira. So in the normal circumstances, we assume that again, that Bechira is the ability to choose between that which is good and that which is not good. I have a choice in life. Which also means every single thing that I do right in this world, I get credit for. You know why? I chose it. And every single thing I do wrong in this world, I have responsibility for. You know why? Because I chose it. That's Bechira. But the Rebbe goes on, he says, Vikr Koacha Bechira. The real essence of Bechira is, Husha al yidei Shashem yizbarach helim vehistir ritzono ba'astaras va'olamas kidolos. The truth is, the real aspect of Bechira comes about because the Ribono Shel Olam has hidden his will in this world. So they'll say, we all have those moments in life where we wonder to ourselves, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me? What does God want from me in this circumstance? See, you would think that sometimes in life it's a little bit easier if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would just tell me what you want. God, I'm a trusted servant. I'm a good soldier. Tell me what you want and I will do it. The difficulties in life come about because here I'm expected to do things, but yet, again, I don't fully understand what it is that the Ribono Shel Olam wants of me. But says Rabbi Nachman, that's Gufa what makes Bechira so great. This, the koach of Bechira is the fact that what HaKadosh Baruch wants of us is not immediately clear or discernible. Rak nosan, look at these underlined lines. This is the Iker. Rak nosan koach the da'as ba'adam. HaKadosh Baruch gave koach, he gave strength, he gave wisdom in man. Shiyavin midaito, shetzarech levalos kol yamav. That a person has to spend all of his days Levakesh ulechapes achar ritzono yisbarach. To go ahead and what? To try to figure out what is the ratzon habore. What is the ratzon Hashem? So you hear what Rabbi Nachman is saying? This is an incredible yisod. Bechira is not simply trying to figure out what's right and what's wrong. The truth is, more often than not, that decision, if we're willing to be honest, is not so complicated. We know what's right, we know what's wrong. The real big decision in life, the real manifestation of Bechira, is my ability to figure out what is the Ratzon Habore. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of me? What is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is the will of the Ribono Shel Olam? Says Rabbi Nachman, that's where Bechira comes in. Bechira is choice, is the ability to understand and to discern what is the will of God. And of course, I say to yourself, well, isn't that obvious? Right? Isn't that obvious what the will of God is? Because Baruch wants you to do mitzvos. He wants me to be a good person. He doesn't want me to kill anyone. Doesn't want me to rob anyone. Well, I know what Chodesh Baruch wants. God expresses his desires through the mitzvos. I will say, we know that life is much more complicated than that. Yes, we have to perform mitzvos, but there's an element of ratzon habore, which is much more difficult to comprehend. How often does it happen that we find ourselves in life situations? And we could go in multiple directions, right? We find ourselves in life, and in front of us, there are multiple paths. Yeah, multiple paths. And I don't know which one to take. So you see, sometimes on case of multiple paths, one is good, one is bad, right. One is Kaddish, one is Tam, right? One is Tara, one is Tameh. So that's easy, or easier. But sometimes in life, you're faced with multiple paths, and none of them are wrong, chas v'shalom. None of them are sinful, chas v'shalom. They're all there. And the truth is, I don't know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me. That's where Bechira kicks in. Bechira is the ability to discern what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want of me in life.
Are there other communication as to which Derek
A person has to use their ratzon. A person has to try to discern that. A person has to be in sync with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbe is going to go on. He says, Ulevatel kol ritzono osav neged ritzono yizbarach. And Rebbe said, a person has to negate all of his wills in front of the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rebbe said, what does this mean? What this means is like this. You know, from the time that we're little, so the question we often ask ourselves or others ask us is, what do you want to be when you grow up? So Rabbi Nachman says, a Yid asks himself a different question. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need me to be? Now, Bosan, I understand those often could be two very different questions. Sometimes what I want out of life and what God wants from me out of life are two very different things. So sometimes a person is lucky, and what I want and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of me are the same thing. But very often in life, what I want to do, what I want to accomplish, what I want to be, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for me are two different things. And a person has to be able to humble himself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to go ahead and what? To be able to bend his knee before the Ribbono Shel Olam and say, I'm willing to go ahead and fulfill your ratzon, even though your ratzon is different than mine. Says the Rebbe ultimately again, V'ikra kol kach ha-bechira, ro'en b'parashat lo. So this, I think, is just an overwhelming yesod. Because what this Yisod ultimately is saying is that the idea of Bechira, again, is not simply the ability to choose between right and wrong. Bechira means the ability to intuit the will of God. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me in life? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want for me to accomplish? The ability to answer that question is in and of itself the use of my Bechira. He says, Ve'ikar kol klach ha-Bechira, ro'am be-parasha zo shal bilam, b'yin hiluch ala kal es Yisrael chas ha-shalom. Says the Rebbe, we see this concept of Bechira very much manifest in this parasha. What happens? Bilam wants to go and curse Klal Yisrael. Ve'echis naig Hashem Yisbarach imo, ki ha yiratzonu chazak ma'od l'kallom, v'amr lahem lino po ha-layla, ki afa pi shegila shakol b'yad Hashem Yisbarach, Aval halach bidarko sheyucha lahamshich neged ritzono. So listen to this. The Rebbe says something amazing. What's happening in Parshas Balak? What's happening here? So Bilam wants to curse the Jewish people. As you said before, he wants to curse them. How do we know he wants to curse them? Because he realizes, again, that Ribbono Shel Olam loves Klal Yisrael. But yet, when the servants of Balak come along, Bilam tells them, stay here tonight, let's see what happens. Right? You never know what will occur. So what happens? Aval Hashem Yisparach Chamal Al Yisrael V'Amar Lo Beferish Lo Se Lechimon. So remember again, there are two parts of the story. The first time the messengers of Balak come to Bilam, what happens? They say to Bilam, come with us, Balak wants to hire you to curse the Jewish people, he'll make you famous, he'll make you wealthy, wonderful. Bilam says to them, stay here tonight, and I'll see what God tells me. What does Kadosh Baruch Hu tell him? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him that lo se'ores am ki baruchu. God says, I'm sorry. You can't go with them. You can't curse the people because they are blessed. So Kadosh Baruch Hu very clearly tells Bilam, you can't curse the people. So what happens? He sends the messengers on their way. Then what happens? They come back a second time. What does Bilam say again? Bilam says, stay the night. Let's see what God says. Says Rabbi Nachman, Bilam, what are you doing? The Ribbono Shel Olam already told you unequivocally, Lo Selechimoyim, you can't go with them. Lo Sa'or Es Ha'am, you can't curse them. Ki Baruch Hu, for they're blessed. Don't touch it. Klal Yisrael is untouchable. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu already communicated this to you, then why the second time when the servants of Balak show up? Why are you telling them to stay over the night? What are you hoping for? V'yafa pikein, lo shav me rishol agamre, v'amar ki me'en Hashem l'siti la'lochimayem, be'rish rashi sh'ramaz lam shishlach tzorem rad m'gdoli mehem, ki savar, ula yucha lehiskaber beratzon chazak kolkach, ad shiyam shich ratzon ha'elyon ki ratzono chas v'shalom, l'kalo, left-hand paragraph, l'kalo chas v'shalom es Yisrael. So what's Bilam's cheshbon? So Bilam's cheshbon is like this. Bilam's cheshbon is that he's going to convince God. That's his cheshbon. Either Ribbono Shel Olam told you already, don't go with them, you can't curse them, they're blessed. Bilam says, you're going to see, I am going to convince the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what happens? So what happens when the second set of messengers come, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes that Bilam's ratzon, Bilam's desire, is to go and to curse Klal Yisrael? Amar Hashem Yisbarach, what does God say to Bilam? Kum, leich im ha'anashim. Fine, go with them. We'll say, right, again, we've all had this experience. Maybe sometimes it's with parents, sometimes it's with the spouse. So what happens? You want to do something. So you ask, the answer is no. Then what do? You see, it's just like kids all the time. So, right, you beg, and then still no. And then at a certain point in time, you know, like parental resolve, it gets worn. Fine. Go do it, right? So what happens? So Bilam is not taking no for an answer. So Bilam is saying, Chashbaruch, he's not saying it by peh, but he's saying it with his actions. I want to go. So Chashbaruch, it's fine. You want to go? Fine, you can go. But Bilam understands, it's not going to be your words that are coming out of your mouth, it's going to be my words. Amar Shema Afatena V'Yisratza Kimov Sheperish Rashi Sham. And what happens? Bilam this whole time is figuring to himself, you know what? I'll be able to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu and win him over to my side. I'll be able to convince him that Klal Yisrael should be cursed. Va'achar kach kishalach amad asono shalosh pamim ulach tzva'ayidei malach shiyotza likrasa le'akvo. So we'll say the story is not over. So now a third time. So remember, just when God says, fine, go, what happens? Remember the story, Bilam's on his donkey, right? The donkey sees the angel with a fiery sword in the middle of the road. The donkey veers off the road. Donkey doesn't want to go anymore. Bilam's beating the poor donkey. Finally, what happens? Chash Baruch Hu opens the eyes of Bilam and shows him that there's an angel there, sitting there in the middle of the road. But yet, so we'll say, here's what's amazing. Again, this is just an important episode in life. Mm-hmm. If you're going in a particular direction to do something, and you see an angel with a fiery sword in front of you, so conventional wisdom says, probably good to turn around. Probably could die, right? Turn around, right? Probably not the right path to go on. So we'll say, see, you hear this story? The first set of messengers come. God says, Bilam, you can't go. Don't go. Don't curse the people. They're blessed. You can't go. Second set of messengers come. Bilam says, Sleep, well, let's see what God has to say. Which says, really? I told you what I have to say. Fine. You want to go? Go. Go. Bilam goes. The Bono Sha'olam is still not willing to give up on Bilam, sends the angel. So Bilam sees, donkey sees the angel. Bilam sees the angel. Donkey doesn't want to go any further. If you're a Chacham, you say to yourself, Bono Sha'olam sending an angel with a fiery sword in front of me, that must mean that what? That must mean that Lemaisa, again, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want me to go. And yet, V'hu lo shas libo gam lezos. Bilam chooses not to pay attention to it. Bahalach l'darko hara, at shegam acher kach kishapasach Hashem espia asan v'diber imo v'ochiach v'acher kach gila Hashem ina v'ra'as hamalach nitzav likrasa v'chabur shlufo biyado. Even when the donkey begins talking to Bilam, and even we'll say, no, this is one of the most absurd episodes in the parasha, right? What happens? Bilam's hitting the donkey. Vayiftach Hashem espia asan. So the God's Baruch Hu causes the donkey to open his mouth. And donkey says, Bilam, what's up? Right? What are you doing? Why are you hitting me? So have I not been a good donkey that served you your whole life? And Bilam responds and says, you know what? If I had a sword, I'd kill you. And I both say, what's bizarre about that? What's bizarre?
Donkey talking?
Right. So, right, thank you. Right, it's not your question. Right? So it's like, can you imagine this? Like, can you imagine? You're on your donkey. Donkey starts talking and you just respond back. Like you would have thought, Bilam was like, whoa, like what's going on over here? He just responds to the donkey like you would respond to your friend, or like you would respond to someone here in the conference, right? The donkey says, why are you hitting me? Bilam says, well, if I had a sword, I'd kill you. Mam shatalki donkey, right? So what's the pshat? Bilam says, it's an incredible yisod in life. Sometimes we are so sure that we are correct, we are so sure that we are right, that we ignore all of the signs around us that tell us that we're wrong. You see, Bilam is so focused on cursing Klal Yisrael. That's his ratzon. I want to curse Klal Yisrael. And again, It's not because he's such a rabid anti-Semite. Like we said before, he wants money. He wants money, he wants fame, he wants greatness. He's so focused. When you know, I know what I want. You would say, I want him, it's good. He's got singular tunnel vision for a goal-oriented person. I want to bless you. I want to curse cloudy snow. Nothing's going to get in my way. Not talking donkeys, not angels with fiery swords, not even the Ribono Shel Olam. Nothing gets in my way. Because you know what happens in life sometimes? We get so blinded by our own ratzon. We get so blinded by what I want that we forget to ask ourselves, what does the Ribono Shel Olam want? We get so focused on what we want that we forget that life is not about fulfilling or actualizing my ratzon. But life, Bechira, is about actualizing the ratzon, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He goes on, Afa Pikein, Lo Ratz Levatel Ratzono. So Bilam sees all of this stuff, Bilam hears all of this stuff, and yet, still fundamentally unwilling to go ahead and be Mevatel, his Ratzon at all. Va'amar, Ve'imra Be'inech HaShuvah. Now listen, I watch this, remember, What does Bilam say? You know, when the angel is there with the fiery sword, so Bilam says, oh, if you want me to go back, of course I'll turn around. Right? They'll say, well, we've all had conversations like that. Right? Oh, of course, you don't want me to do this? Of course, if you don't want me to do it, of course I won't do it. So again, which is Bilam's way of pretending that he's trying to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, but at the end of the day, he's not interested in the will of God, he's interested in the will of Bilam. But you know, at some point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, listen, I've given you Bechira. Because what's Bechira? What's Bechira in its essence? Bechira is the ability to choose. Do I want to live life fulfilling my Ratzon? Or do I want to live life fulfilling the Ratzon HaBorei? Do I want to live life just fulfilling my will? Or do I want to live life fulfilling the Ratzon, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to rob Bilam of that choice. Bilam, you have a choice. I'm trying to steer you. I'm trying to inform you. I'm trying to help to shape your decision so you choose in the right way. But Lamaisa, at the end of the day, the choice is yours. He goes on, Vakol, therefore Hashem Yisparach Yeshivu Kirtzono, Lechimoim. Therefore God says, no, I'm not telling you to turn back. In other words, in parentheses, I've already told you not to go. I've already told you that it's not going to work out well. I already sent the angel. I already opened up the mouth of a donkey. You know what I want, Bilam. But you're choosing not to see it. You're choosing ultimately again to just live life by your own ratzon. You've created an alternate reality for yourself that is based on what you want out of life, irrespective of what the truth is. Therefore, again, v'akol machmas habechira kimosham rabasinu zal beparshazos bedar shadam rotzei leleich molich nosos. So we'll say, Rabbi Nachman teaches us a really incredible yisod, and he teaches us a definition. That Bechira is not just simply free choice. Bechira is something much more fundamental. In life, there's a choice. I could live life for me. I could live life according to my ratzon, what I want. Or I could live life trying to figure out what is the ratzon HaBorei. What does the Ribono Shel Olam want from me in any given life situation? I will say, as was pointed out before, that's often not an easy question to answer. I will say, you should know, Bennett asked, do we get signs? You know, we get signs all the time. I think I mentioned this before. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Abedichev quotes the Zohar. The Zohar says that if you listen attentively, you could still hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Har Sinai. So what does that mean? So first of all, we know scientifically that sound breaks down into smaller and smaller components. So the Zohar literally says that if you strain your ear enough, you could literally hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice coming from Har Sinai. So the Rebbe says, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, I'll adapt the mashal. He says, the Ribono Shel Olam talks to us all the time. He sends us messages all the time. He gives us hadracha, he gives us advice, he gives us guidance all of the time. The difference is, you have to be tuned into the right frequency. You see, if the Ribono Shel Olam is broadcasting on AM, and I'm on FM, I'm never going to pick up the signal. In order to be able to hear the voice of the Ribono Shel Olam, have to be plugged into the right frequency. That's where Torah, Tefillah, Chesed, that's where those components come in. Those things are important because it's those things that get me zoned into the right frequency. Let's see, when I'm on the right frequency, then I could hear the message of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then I will say, I have a very simple yet profound decision to make in life. Am I going to live life by my own ratzon? Is life about what Shmuel Silber wants? Is that what life is about? What's going to make me happy? What's going to make me feel good? What I find pleasurable? Or do I live my life for some higher purpose? Or is my life ultimately about what is the ratzon habori? What is the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Says Rabbi Nachman, that's Bechira. Bechira is the choice between living life for my ratzon or between living life for the ratzon of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Says Rabbi Nachman, herein lies the entire essence of this week's parasha. Because I will say, you know, it is very interesting that I always find it intriguing to kind of see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to place a lot of emphasis on in the Torah. Right? There's so much time spent on this story of Bilam. Right? You ever wonder to yourself why? He's a Gentile prophet who failed. Like, why does he get so much airtime? Right? Well, so you should just know, by the way, Bilam, just you should know, Bilam almost gets more airtime than Miriam. Not almost. He gets more airtime than Miriam. Miriam Hanaviyah gets less pasuk time. I don't know if that's the right term, but you understand what I mean. Right? Less pasuk time than Miriam. Right? Miriam gets less than Bilam. Bilam gets a lot. Not like Moshe, not like, but, so what's the pshat? Because the story of Bilam, I will say, is the story of the human condition. The story of Bilam is a story of a man who decided, this is what I want to do. And I will say, you know, sometimes having singular focus, what you want to accomplish is good. As long as what? As long as your goals are noble and your objectives are holy. But sometimes in life, we decide what we want. And I will say, see, it's my simchah yom. People convince themselves of what is correct. Right? People convince themselves of what is correct. Right? And when you convince yourself that this is the way that it is, so you know, you ever try having a conversation with someone who is steadfast in their belief of their reality. Right? It's unequivocal. So what's usually the nature of that kind of conversation? It's a bracha levatala. It's a bracha levatala. There's absolutely no reason to go ahead. No, let's say, I'll tell you just a nice shahaya kachaya. When I spoke at the Beis Yaakov graduation, so a person came over to me, speaking to the girls just about the need to dream and to have aspirations. So there was a guy who came over to me. He said, "Oh, Rabbi, that was great. It's about time someone told these girls that they could do something other than pop out babies." So somebody was standing next to me, having my brother, and he was ready to like rip into this guy. He was getting red in the face, took his arm, pulled him aside. I said, "Let me explain something to you. Somebody who says that, and if that's what he took from what I said, then he clearly is fixed in his reality. There's absolutely no benefit to getting into a conversation with someone like that. So you're going to yell, and he's going to yell back, but he's not listening to you. He has no interest in anything you have to say, because he has already established his judgments. He's already established his facts. And if he could take that message from nothing to do with anything I said, that means that he's listening with his filter of MS, his filter of correctness, his filter of moral righteousness, whatever it may be. There's no point in talking to someone like that. That's Bilam. That's Bilam. The Bilam personality is a person who says, I know what's right, I know what I want to do, and the truth is, this is what's going to happen. And the Bilam personality is very dangerous, because the Bilam personality ignores all the signs from all ends. You're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. He ignores the talking donkeys, he ignores the angels with fiery swords, he even ignores HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he ignores all the telltale signs, because he's so wrapped up in what he wants. He's so wrapped up in his own ratzon that he can't hear or see anything else. He can't hear or see any other message. That's Bilam. That's why the Torah spends so much time. And I will say, I've had this question for years, and finally Rabbi Nachman answered. That's why, by the way, you know, it always bothered me. Because God says to Bilam, Bilam, fine, you want to go? Go. Rabbi Shalom, why are you saying that? If you don't want Bilam to go, then what? Then what? Tell him don't go. Remember, God said it the first time, and remember, Bilaam listened. Bilaam listened the first time, right? So had God said the second time, Bilaam, I don't want you to go, Bilaam would have listened. So, Bilaam, why don't you tell them, why don't you tell Bilaam, don't go. Just say, don't go. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? So Elamai, beautiful noise. So Elamai, so what's the pshat? Because that's not how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works. That's Bechira. Bechira in life is the choice between you want to do what you want, or do you want to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So God guides us. God tries to give us hadracha. God gives us signs. God speaks to us. God dispatches all kinds of simanim. But at the end of the day, Bechira means the ability to choose between living life with my ratzon, or living life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon. That's the power of Bechira, Rabbosai. Do I want to live? Do I live life with blinders? What's going to make me happy? What's going to be pleasurable to me? What I want? And I ignore all of the signs that are coming from all ends saying, not a good idea, bad road to go down. Or do I live life on a higher level, asking myself, not is it what I want, but what's the ratzon habore? What does Ribbono Shel Olam want from me now? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me today? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from me out of life? And the Rebbe says, ultimately again, this is the greatest gift that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. The gift of Bechira. We should be Zoche Mirtz Hashem to be able to choose wisely. We should be Zoche Mirtz Hashem to not lead lives where all we're concerned about is what makes me happy. But we should lead heilig and holy lives. Lives ultimately where we ask ourselves every single day, what is the Ratzon HaBore? How can I maximize this existence? And how can I give nachas to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with every act I engage in? All right, we'll stop over here.
I noticed something I could say. When Bilaam overruled his